prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. We'll read a few verses and pray and then jump into the message. Luke chapter 15, and look down at verse 11, the beginning of the parable. It says, Luke 15, 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. If you've been in church for any length of time, you've probably heard countless sermons on this parable. You've probably heard it related to our salvation, how God is always willing to save anybody. And if we just come to ourselves and realize we're sinners and repent, that he'll take us in as the Father did with the Son. Maybe you've heard it more on the side of being backslidden, how you get away from the Lord, you get away from the Father, and you come back to him and you come to yourself and confess your sins and come to the Lord and get back on the right track, and probably many, many more. And today I really just want to take kind of the main thoughts of the message and go through the passage a little bit and just try to help us today. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Let's pray. We'll jump right into it. Lord, we love you. Thank you for being so good to us. Bless these dear, precious people. Thank you for Loomis Park Baptist Church, and thank you for Pastor Rich Zavodsky. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the years that my wife and I and family have been able to be here and minister, and thank you, God, for the great things that you've allowed us to be a part of and the great people we've been able to meet that have invested in us. We love you. Bless the message. In your precious name, amen. You may be thinking today that you can relate to this prodigal son. Maybe not as much in the being very away from the Lord or being away from the Father, you could say, but maybe you think of the prodigal son when he was in that dark spot, when he had gone and he had had a lot of fun and had a blast, but he ran out of money and he ran out of friends and he was lonely and he felt forgotten and he felt like nothing. Maybe today that's how you feel. Maybe today it is that. Maybe today you are away from the Lord. Maybe you don't have a close relationship with your father. And truth is, many of us can relate to him without even realizing it. And let's see how. Look at verse 12, Luke 15. It says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I see in verse 12, we see something. Number one, what did the prodigal son do first of all? Number one, he foolishly left his father's side. He foolishly left his father's side. And the truth is, the father allowed him to. If you think about the story, you probably would understand that the father knew his kids well. And he probably knew that his son was going to go off and mess his life up. But he allowed him, he gave him that decision to make on his own. And the son foolishly took the inheritance that was his half, and he went off and wasted. He left the father's side. Those of you that have kids, you'll understand when you're in the mall or when you're crossing the street and you're with your child, you're going to make sure that your child is right there. Anytime with any of my boys, Donald, Seth, Charlie, Brady's almost walking, but not yet. He's just too chubby, I think, to walk. But the other three, when I'm walking with them, whether it be even in church, wherever I am, I want to make sure that they are right next to me. Because it seems that when they get away from my side, they end up getting into trouble or getting possibly even into danger. Some of us today have left the Father's side. We've allowed ourselves to get away from the only one that can get us through this life, that can help us in our trials, that can help us in our struggles, that can deliver us from sin. We have left the Father's side, willingly left the Father's side. You see, it's very rarely an accident when we're away from the Lord. Very rarely do we accidentally get away from God. Sometimes we may understand the decisions that we're making will lead us away from the Lord, but never is it an accident. It is always by choices that we make, because we know that Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But so often we step away from the Father, as the prodigal son did. He foolishly left the Father's side. We haven't been walking with God. We haven't been witnessing or loving people or praying or listening to the preaching or trusting God. And we're living in fear and we're playing around with sin and we're trusting in our own power. Why do we do all those things? Why do we make all those wrong decisions? Why are we okay with that so often? It's because we've left the Father's side. We've gotten away from the Father. You see, when you're close to the Father's side, just like my kids, when they're by my side, you know what? They can hear me when I talk to them. When I'm holding their hand and they're right next to me, I can say, "Donald, I love you," or "Donald, don't do that," or "Donald, stay with," and he hears my voice. He can hold my, listen, he can't hold my hand if he's staying away over there. He's got to be at my side to hold my hand. And it's the same with our Heavenly Father. Listen, the reason you're not hearing the voice of God is because you're just not close to Him right now. You're not close to the Father. You've left the Father's side, so you won't know God's perfect will for your life. So you'll miss it. You won't know the decisions God wants you to make. You'll start doing things thinking that it's okay, but the reason that you think it's okay and maybe you don't feel as much conviction is because you've been away from the Father's side. You can't hear His voice. It's much quieter than when you were close to Him, when you were in the Word, when you were in prayer, when your spirit was right. It's easier to hear the voice of God. Listen, we wonder so often why when we face trials, they're just so unbelievably difficult and unbearable. It's because, listen, when we're already close to the Father, yes, the difficult times will still come, but we'll be close to Him already to where we can just reach up and hold His hand. We don't have to almost work our way back, it seems, in our hearts sometimes. Well, I haven't been close to God, so I'm going through this difficult time, and now I feel guilty even going to God because, listen, that we could avoid all that if we stayed by the Father's side. And the truth is, when I'm with Donald, I'm holding his hand, he's right next to me, often I'll remind him, "Hey, stay with me, buddy, hey." Or even if he's just walking next to me, "Stay with me, buddy, hey, stay close." And doesn't the Father seem to do that? When we're close to Him, He reminds us, not just in His Word, but maybe through the preaching or through a friend, of just how important it is to stay close to the Father's side. The prodigal foolishly left the Father's side. And let me tell you, that is the first step to a ruined life, a ruined marriage, a ruined ministry, a ruined family, leaving the Father's side. Folks, do you realize how much we need Him? Do you realize how we've forgotten how much we need God? How much we need a relationship with Jesus Christ? It's not just a perk of being saved. It is a necessity. We must be close to God. And we see the prodigal, after he left the Father's side, destruction came and loneliness came and sadness and sorrow and problems seemed to keep coming, and he was gone. He wasn't close to the Father. And we'll see in number two, what did he do after he left the Father's side? Where the decisions got only worse. When you remove yourself from the presence of God, when you leave the Father's side, number two, what did the prodigal son do? Not only did he foolishly leave the Father's side, but he foolishly spent his father's wealth. He foolishly spent his father. Look at verse 13. After, in verse 12, the father gave him his half. Verse 13, it says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey." And by the way, when you get away from God, it's not just like it's one step. It's not like, listen, it's a process very often. It's you miss one Wednesday night. So I don't miss very often. Or you miss one Sunday school, whatever it may be. And it becomes a journey away from the Father. And the farther you are away from God, listen, what's great about the Lord is even if you're far or even if you are just one step, it always seems like he's still right there. But the Son, he left the Father's side, and what did he do in verse 13? It says, he wasted his substance with riotous living. He took what his Father gave him. He took his inheritance that the Father knew he probably was going to waste. And he wasted it. And in our lives, God has given some of you, God has given some of you great ability and great gifts to use for his glory, but we have chosen not to use them. Listen, I don't need to get specific. You know your heart, but as an example, I can think of maybe the Lord has given you the ability to even, I'm not going to say sing well, but even just to carry a tune. And I'll tell you, Pastor Mark comes up and says, man, we'd love to have choir members. Hey, that is a gift God has given you that you can use for his glory. An opportunity, a ministry opportunity where you can say, you know what, God gave me that gift. God allowed me to have that, so I'm going to use it for him, but we waste it. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's you have a great personality or you're outgoing. And listen, you're not using the gifts God's given you. You're wasting the talent that God has given you. The Son, he wasted his inheritance. He foolishly spent his Father's wealth. And you know your gifts. You know what God has allowed you, that has gifted you with. Are you using it for him or are you wasting it? Beyond talent, opportunities God gives us. We waste them. I say it every time we have announcements. Listen, Thursday nights at 6 o'clock, you know what that is? That is an opportunity for you to be a blessing to somebody else. An opportunity for you to obey the command of God. An opportunity for you to be a blessing to even your pastor. But often, we waste it. The opportunities, not just in church, but yes, in church, in ministry sometimes, where there's needs. And listen, you can help. Listen, God's putting these opportunities right there in front of you, but we don't take them. We waste it. At your work, an opportunity to be a witness, to be a light for Jesus Christ, and we waste it. The opportunity to be a blessing to a friend or another Christian who's hurting, but we waste it because of selfishness or pride. An opportunity to be a witness to your unsaved family or to help someone else. And all these opportunities that God continually gives us, we waste it. It's so often we say, Lord, I just want to be used by you. God, please use my life. And Lord, I feel like I can't do anything. And God's saying, hey, I've given you countless opportunities. You just keep missing him. He foolishly spent his Father's wealth. Beyond the talent, beyond the opportunity, think about this. Think about the grace that God has shown us that we often waste. It seems like it's wasted grace. God sent his Son to die on the cross for us, took upon himself the sins of the whole world, and we experience that grace through salvation and faith. But with that grace, we end up living our own lives, making decisions that we want to make without God being involved in any of them, and living a life away from the Father, and the grace that he's bestowed upon us is wasted. It's wasted. He foolishly spent his Father's wealth. What a sad story, these first few verses. Really, you think about that. Think about how the Father must have felt. Think about how the prodigal felt as he's away from his Father. And you see in verses 14, and when he had spent all, he ran out, and the fun stopped. There arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He's at the end of his rope. He's at the end of his money, at the end of his friends, discouraged, lonely, hanging out with the pigs, hungry, because he had foolishly spent his Father's wealth, and he had left his Father's side. What did he do next? Look at verse 17. This is a great thought, but look what happens. It says, when he came to himself, amen for that, he realized, man, I've been a dummy. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and despair, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy. Think about this phrase. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. So the prodigal says, you know what? I'm sick of living this terrible life. You know what? I'm going to go back to dad, apologize, and he probably doesn't even want it. He probably didn't even love me anymore. Probably didn't even care about me anymore. But I'm just going to see if he'll at least let me be a servant. You know what he did, number three? He foolishly left his father's side. He foolishly spent his father's wealth. Number three, he foolishly misjudged his father's heart. Do you think for a moment that that father sat back at home by the door, looking up the road, thinking, man, I just can't wait till that kid gets home so I can give him a piece of my mind? So I can take care of that, so I can, you know, punish him, or, man, I'm just going to make him my servant. I can't stand that kid. No, we know what, we know, because we know the end of the story, how the father felt. But this son, he misjudged his father's heart. And you say, man, I can't believe he did that. But you know, we do the same thing. We've made up our minds sometimes that God cannot use us. We say, well, you know what? Because of my past, I just don't... Or because of this struggle that I face, I don't think that God could, you know, I don't know if I can, you know, how am I supposed to be a blessing to others when, and I, you know, because of, you know, some of you teens, maybe you're thinking, you know, the home I live in, I don't think God can use me. Or maybe you say, well, I don't have a lot to offer. I don't have those talents that Pastor Allen's talking about. Man, I'm not very good up in front of people. Or, man, I just can't talk to people that I don't know. Or and we start making all these excuses. And, you know, we're misjudging the Father's heart. We're making decisions for him, it seems. God cannot use me because of this or that or this or that. And we misjudged the Father's heart, because the bottom line is this, folks. God does want to use you. God does love you. God has given you abilities and talents, which you may not have even discovered yet, but God has a plan and specific purpose for all of us. And I'll tell you, it's not just to take care of little old me, and it's not just to sit in a pew and warm it, and it's not just to whatever you can think of. There's a specific plan and purpose that God has for you, but we misjudge the Father's heart. Hey, God doesn't want to make us one of his hired servants. We are his children. You are a child of God. And he loves you. He loves you. We've misjudged the Father's heart. He wants to give you, think of what the Father does, and we'll get to that last point in a minute, but we think of what the Father does for him as he welcomes him home and gives him all. Listen, God wants to give you everything you could ever think of. God wants to give you his perfect will. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you peace. He doesn't want you to be lonely. He doesn't want you to feel forgotten. He doesn't want you to feel used. He wants to use you in the right way. He loves you more than anything. We must not forget that. And what happened? We know that he misjudged his father, but thankfully, even though he was misjudging his father's heart, he still made this final decision in verse 20. We saw numbers 1-3 that he left his father's side, he spent his father's wealth, he misjudged his father's heart. But number 4, and lastly, verse 20, he arose, came to his father. He arose, he came to his father. He made the decision. Number 4, he finally went home. He went home. And we know what happens. Look at what happened. What he saw when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son, we know, the son said, he goes, hey, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I'm no worthy to be called thy son. But what did the father do? He says, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and kill the fatted calf. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive and was lost and is found. And he began to be merry. We see the joy of the father as the son finally comes home. You think about it in our lives, folks. We're away from the Father. I'm away from the Father. Okay, I've left home. I've walked away from what I know God wants me to do. I'm not in my Bible, I'm not praying, and on it could go, my spirit's wrong, whatever, and I have left home. And here I am in the world, with nothing. Here I am. I've wasted my father's wealth. I've left his side. But now I finally realize, you know what? He did give me the inheritance. He has saved me. And you know, you think of what the son must have thought. Maybe he, even though he thought he might be a hired servant, but to think, you know, at least that, he at least knew his father would take him back. He probably didn't realize how much. But here we stand as a Christian, knowing the story of the prodigal son. And if you just thought for a minute and think, you know, he did send his son to die for me. He did give me a great church to be a part of. You know, he did save me knowing that I was going to fail him. Listen, he did give me a second chance knowing I'd probably mess up again. And folks, the challenge today is if that's you, it's time to go home. It's time to come home. It's time to, like the prodigal son, whether his thoughts were wrong and he misjudged his father's heart, he still made the decision to go home. He made the decision to leave the pigs, where the pigs were at, and to leave the world and leave the far country and take the journey back home. And we see how the father received him. You can always come home. Folks, look at me. You can always come home. Listen, there is always a place at the table set for you. Thank God for that. After we've failed, after we've made mistakes, after we've disappointed our Savior, we can still come home. And He welcomes us with open arms, and He welcomes us with love. And now the whole time, He's waiting. He's waiting for you to come home. We've left His side, we've spent His wealth, we've misjudged His heart, but it's time to just come home. It's time to just come home. You know your heart. You know your life right now. If you're away from the Father's side, it's time to come home. It's time to come home. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Preacher.